The Conference Committee on House File 3800 will come to order, and we're going to be working off the Conference Committee report. We've got a couple of amendments that need to be offered up so that we can kind of get this bill in the shape that it needs to be in to gain enough votes to pass. And with that, I'd let Representative Nelson move the A20 amendment.
The A20 amendment.
Been passed out.
It's been passed out.
We'll get them passed out. We're going to get the amendment passed out here.
Do you need my vote, don't you? Earhart's here now. You don't need me anymore.
You?
Oh,
thank you.
Okay, let's see what this back room is doing.
Yeah.
We only have health food on the Senate side.
Are we changing the definition of crops? Is that the same?
Representative Nelson.
Mr. Chair, if you could let the staff explain the amendment to what it does.
Okay. Ms. Pierzowski.
The general effect of this amendment is to remove all the language relating to primary seatbelt enforcement. It reinstates the stricken language on seatbelt enforcement in the instruction permit and provisional license sections. It takes out the provision about the $25 surcharge for seatbelt violations.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Nelson.
Earlier today on the House floor, there was a vote on this, and it was overwhelmingly brought down. And I don't, you know, I have not been a fan of this, and it would be problematic getting this bill passed with all the other good provisions in it if the seatbelt provisions are in there.
No, thank you, Representative Nelson. And the Senate understands that after the House has taken a couple of procedural votes that it's just probably not in the cards to do seatbelts this year. Further discussion? Senator Olsen.
Mr. Chair, if Section 39 is totally taken out of the bill, then I guess my question was going to be that the stricken language, what happens to that? Does that go back to the original form?
That's correct, Senator Olsen.
Okay.
Chair Hortman.
Mr. Chair, I just think it's worth noting for the record that in the legislative process, from time to time, we will have a chair that will decide he or she does not like a bill, and that he or she will not give the bill a hearing in that person's committee because they don't like the bill. And sometimes that's the end of an issue. And, you know, in this case, Representative Mullery's decision to prevent the bill from going forward created problems where members of the House felt it wasn't properly before them on procedural grounds. And I think it's unfortunate, whether the chamber is controlled by Democrats or by Republicans, for any chair of any committee to bottle up legislation that has significant public interest and significant support and prevent it from being debated on its merits. I can understand the gatekeeper process of not hearing every single bill because of time limitations or inadequate support, but something that's this important, I think, deserves to be heard. Now, whether it had the votes to get out of that committee, I'm not sure, but I think it's unfortunate that this issue this year didn't really get a fair hearing in the House of Representatives because of the actions of one chair.
Thank you. Further discussion on the Nelson motion to adopt the A20 amendment. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion does prevail. Next, we have the A21 amendment. Members, the A21 amendment removes the changes to the Demler law. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Next, we have the A23 amendment. And this is a little more contentious. This is an issue that we'd heard in the Senate, but the House has not heard. And this is a loan forgiveness. As a matter of fact, this passed out of our Finance Committee last week. Right now, there's a small rail line down in Rock and Nobles County that borrowed money out of the rail account quite a few years ago, and it stands at about $2.8 million. They haven't paid $1 back in the 20-plus years. They don't have the resources to pay it back, but there's an ethanol plant there, and they need to move the ethanol as cheaply and quickly as possible. And this, the rail line that wants to do it can't get loans from the, this is my understanding, can't get the appropriate loans because they have this repayment to the state hanging over their heads. And I think that it'd probably be best if we forgave the loan that they're not going to be able to repay anyway. Chair Hortman.
Mr. Chair, this bill wasn't, I understand it was heard in the Senate, and but it was not heard in the House. And I'm very concerned about us trying to make a decision at this very late hour. We didn't even think this conference committee was coming back together. I think it would not be the responsible way to make policy for us to try to determine right now whether it's in the state of Minnesota's best interest to adopt this language. So I would encourage members to vote against this language just on the grounds that this isn't the time or the place to be making this decision.
Senator Jungbauer.
Well, Mr. Chair, and I do agree with that. I just have issues with any kind of loan forgiveness if, you know, well, generally speaking, we don't all have the information we need to even decide if it's a good thing to do, but I just think it's a bad start of a policy to start forgiving loans. I think the lineup would be long and distinguished of the people asking for loan forgiveness, and I know we've seen this in other avenues already this year, and it becomes very contentious. I believe that would make this bill contentious again on another level.
Do the majority of members feel that way? I'll withdraw the amendment. there's two more amendments that I intend on offering up. One's the A25 amendment. And members, this is, if I could ask for a little bit of allowance here, Mayor Sandberg recently passed away, and on Trunk Highway 36, you know, we had all that new construction going on there, and the folks that represent North St. Paul wanted to dedicate a bridge in the mayor's honor since he was instrumental in helping guide that process that reconstructed Highway 36. And I told, I think it was Representative Lilly, that I would offer this up on his behalf. The reference to 161 at the bottom, that reference of statute just says that the people who want to put the sign up have to pay for it. So there's no cost to the department. I don't believe that they have any heartburn over this. Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I thought I'd also mention that Senator Uyghur
yes.
has consideration as well. And
mm-hmm.
I'm going to move the
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hortman.
Could I ask if Ms. Parker is here on behalf of MnDOT if they have an opinion on this. Or...
Ms. Parker, would you join us at the table? I don't want to speak on Ms. Parker's behalf, but I think I've heard her testimony on this before, that they traditionally don't go out of their way to name bridges, but because that's our decision, and as long as somebody's paying for it, they'll look the other way. I think that's what I've heard before. Ms. Parker.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Betsy Parker from MnDOT. It has generally been the department's recent practice in recent years not to object to things like this when someone else is going to pay for the erection and maintenance of the signs.
Thank you. That's all I needed to hear.
Eric's here.
Okay. On the Dibble motion to amend, all in Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chairman, members, I would recommend a technical change on page 1, line 7. After on insert marked, the trunk highways in statute are actually referred to as legislative routes, and the legislative route numbers in statute don't necessarily line up with the actual trunk highway numbers as they're known. The convention is usually to do marked trunk highway.
Okay. Well, and Senator Dibble will incorporate that change, Mr. Burris. On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. And then we have the A26 amendment. And members, the A26, that simply updates a little bit of that language on the Office of Pupil Transportation, and it changes the appropriation from $1 million to $575,000. It also inserts part of the study group of private bus contractors. I think this is language that everybody saw, and the Captain Urquhart of the State Patrol was instrumental in making sure that we got it all right here. So, Senator Olsen would move the A26 amendment. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Representative Earhart.
We're done with formal. I have a question then, Mr. Chairman. I'm wondering if there's any adverse reaction rumbling around about the graduated driver's license, which I think is still in this bill. And I'm wondering about making a motion to remove it from this bill and let it travel its own course. And anybody set any light on the fact that there's still adverse reaction to that? You may have any feelings on that, or?
Well, Representative Earhart, at this point, my preference is to leave it in the bill. I haven't heard of anybody having too much heartburn in either body about the GDL. I think most of those votes reflected their hesitancy towards adopting primary seat belts. So. Chair Horton.
Mr. Chair, the difference between the primary seatbelt and the graduated driver's license was graduated driver's license did have a floor debate in the House, and it made it through all its committees. And when we considered adopting our conference committee report last Thursday, I don't recall anybody bringing up the issue of GDL or its consideration or its provisions. And so since it was voted on and accepted by both bodies bipartisanly, it had enough votes to stay in the policy bill. And I have not heard from anybody that it needs to come out of this report, that I don't know that it would be causing any problems at this point.
Well, Madam Chair, if I remember correctly, one of the members of the House strongly suggests that you should bring a note from your mother to have this provision be verified for each individual. And... If that's going to keep going on and it's going to go back to the governor that he should veto this because that provision is not in here, then I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Well, Representative Earhart, I'm going to let Senator Jungbauer answer the opt-out. Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And to our public at large, I guess, to allow less-than-trained drivers to opt out of a safety program under graduated driver's license as long as we put in an equal opt-out for adults. And I would think that any parent that would want their child to opt out, they would use the responsible argument. They'd say, well, my child's responsible. They don't need to be involved in these. Well, I was thinking that a lot of us here are responsible drinkers, and we ought to be able to opt out of the open bottle law as well. So as long as somebody would like to put that opt-out in the language for the open bottle law, then I would have an opt-out on graduated driver's license, because I think they're two things that definitely reflect the same things in responsible driving.
Chair Hartman.
Mr. Chair and members, Commissioner Campion testified in front of this committee a couple of times, and I thought he was very clear that the Department of Public Safety supported this provision as it is.
Mm-hmm. And Representative Earhart, this is... If we put an opt-out provision in there, and Chair Hartman is correct, it and even the commissioner will agree that it makes enforcement very difficult. So then we'll have two laws on the books regarding driver safety that are unenforceable. Then we would have the GDL and the seatbelt law. So I don't think we need to make things worse.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I happen to agree with all that's been said, but nevertheless, if that's going to cause this bill to go down, that's my concern.
I understand that. Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'll just remind members of this committee that we started with 3 for 3. We went 2 for 3, and now we're going 1 for 3. I'm very reluctant to go 0 for 3 when it comes to safety.
Yeah. Senator Jungbauer. Well,
Mr. Chair and members, I'd also like to remind members, and hopefully the governor, somebody gets a message back to the governor, but even with these graduated driver's license requirements, we would still have some of the weakest graduated driver's license requirements in the country. I hope our governor believes in increasing those and not keeping us at the weakest stage, and even with these would still be there.
Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair, I would just say that, two people in this building are going to write this bill. Why don't we just turn in our election certificates and let them go in a corner and create the laws of this state? And, it's nice outside. We can enjoy ourselves out there. Mm-hmm. There's a reason we put together omnibus bills. You know, it's a well-established legislative protocol and technique, and we've got a good bill here.
Well, Senator Dibble, I think it could be better. Representative Hortman.
Mr. Chair and members, I think that the issue on that Representative Earhart is raising is not with regard to the governor and whether the governor will sign this bill, but passage in the Minnesota House of Representatives, which is where we had our problems with primary seatbelt. And the Minnesota House of Representatives already voted on an amendment to strip GDL from our policy bill, and 69 people voted in favor of keeping it in. And then when the bill came off the floor, I don't know what the vote total was, but it was higher than that. So the Minnesota House is not an issue, and Commissioner Campion testified that his department, hopefully speaking on behalf, well, he was here to speak on behalf of the governor, didn't have a problem with this provision. So if we've already had our house test, we've got a clear signal from the governor that this isn't a problem. I really don't think that we should take it out at this time.
Representative Earhart?
That's fine. Let's try it.
Okay. As long as you're comfortable.
Good question.
Yeah, good question. Are there any other amendments?
Mr. Chair, the A-72 was recommended to us by Mr. Burris.
Can we get the A-72 amendment passed out? And Mr. Burris, maybe you can tell us what the A-72 does.
Mr. Chair and members, the A-72 amendment deals with the tow truck permit. In the 2007 policy omnibus, as it moved through, it had the towing provisions for getting towed vehicle contents back, and those provisions were removed from the 07 policy bill, but there was a truck permit that stayed in, and that has since been enacted. And there's also a truck permit for towing vehicles that is in the 2008 omnibus that's before the committee right now. This amendment would rectify the potential lack of clarity between the two permits and establish that it's the 2008 version that would become law and eliminate the duplicative 2007 version.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the A72 amendment.
On that motion, is there further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Further amendments? Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair, if there are no further amendments, I'd be willing to move the conference committee report.
Senator Dibble has moved the conference committee report as amended. There was one other issue that that I need to mention right now, and that's the Rochester interchange. You know, I've been getting a lot of heat on this Rochester interchange, and I would just hope that MnDOT and the folks down in Rochester can work that out. I was uncomfortable with that provision being in the Senate's bill to begin with, and now I'm sure that it shouldn't be there. So, MnDOT, do whatever you have to do down there in Rochester. On the Dibble motion to accept the conference committee report, all in favor say aye. Oh, first, before the vote, is there anybody that wants to talk in? Well, is there anybody that wants to speak in opposition to this conference committee report? This is like the preacher, speak now or forever hold your peace. So, seeing none, on the Dibble motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail, and we are adjourned. Thank you very much, members. Thank you.